It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
It is time for us now to turn our attention to our next segment. This is our daily focus here. Where does the church stand? Freedom of speech, they say. Everyone wants it, but nobody agrees on its limits. Can churches speak their minds without crossing into hate speech? Or is that a line that's hard to see? We do have Pastor Passmo Moonga, who's going to be helping us with that very question. Pastor Moonga, good afternoon to you. Welcome. And thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Thank you very much, my brother. Thank you, our listeners. Good afternoon. It's a wonderful day. We are celebrating our 6 years of independence, so you can join us.
Okay. Congratulations to you, sir.
Thank you.
How should churches address controversial social issues without promoting hate or discrimination, Mfundis?
Thank you. In the first place, we need to realize that as a church, in particular the Seventh-day Adventist Church, we are not an anti-government organization. We are not a pressure group that is championing the interests of a particular group in society. The church is above all this. So the church, as members, we need to realize that the church is the voice of God in the world. Now, what kind of the world is this? This is a world that divides. We need to know that we are living in the world that it divides. People on social classes, on the economy, on the type of job, on the language, on the color of your skin. So for us as a church, to address controversial issues without promoting hate or discrimination, we need to rise above the crowd. We need to be neutral by bringing people together. And that's what Jesus did.
Yeah.
There were controversial issues even when he was there, but he did not side with this. He was neutral. He rose above the crowd, above those social issues,
right,
by bringing people together in a world that divides. And that is very critical for us.
Indeed, indeed. What distinguishes freedom of speech, Mfundis, from hate speech in the context of religious expression?
Thank you. Hate speech seems to be not an odd phrase. But in any way, freedom of speech is the right to articulate opinions and ideas without interference, retaliation, or punishment from the government. While hate speech is offensive discourse targeting a group or an individual based on inherent characteristics such as race, religion, or gender, and that may threaten social justice. So we can see that freedom of speech is the right. You have the right to articulate yourself, if in terms or in the religious expression or context, you have the right to talk about what you believe in. But as you talk about what you believe in, you are not demeaning another person. You are not demeaning the Muslim. You are not demeaning the Buddhist. You are merely articulating what you believe in without anyone interfering with you. But when you come to hate speech, this is the key word that I find there is offensive. I intentionally direct this discourse, this talk, to you as an individual. Or I direct this speech against the Zulus, against the Xhosas. I want to deliberately hate them. Now, that is hate speech. So we find that the other one is offensive. The other one is a right. You have the right to articulate yourself. But as you articulate yourself, you need also to know that my freedom of speech should not also not infringe on the freedom of speech of the other person. Much as I can express myself, I should not express myself so that I can hate another person. That is no longer freedom of speech now. It becomes hate speech.
So the book of Leviticus and many other books in the Bible seem to have what you are describing now. And I'd like you to help us understand whether that is hate speech. When the book of Leviticus says a child that speaks disrespectfully and does not listen to his or her parents must be stoned, is that not hate speech? When the Bible says a person who sleeps with an animal must be stoned to death, is that not hate speech? When the Bible says a person who sleeps with a person of the same gender must be stoned to death, is that not hate speech?
No, it's not hate speech. Actually, those laws are still there today. We have those laws today. If you sleep with an animal, I don't just know how it is called in law. You sleep with an animal, you sleep with a relative, you sleep with this.
That is an bestiality. It's called bestiality when you sleep with an animal. It's called incest when you sleep with a relative. It's called homosexual when you, you sleep with a person of the same sex.
Yes. So we find that those are enshrined in our constitutions. Like in our constitution in Zambia, I think all those are enshrined there. If you do this, that means, and for our society to operate normally, a civilized society must have laws. And those laws are the ones that help us. So when I don't do this, that means I'm promoting actually civilization. So I wouldn't recall that is hate speech because they are enshrined in our constitution.
The constitution of the Republic, the constitution of the Republic of South Africa,
yes,
does allow homosexuality.
Ours does not. But in any case, when we talk about Leviticus, Leviticus under the Israel regime, it was called a theocracy. A theocracy, this is a government that God runs or leads directly.
No, I totally understand that, Mfundisi. I just need us to apply the idea of hate speech in contemporary governance. Today, we have countries like the Republic of South Africa, which permits people to be homosexual and forbids anyone from discriminating against another person on the basis of gender or sexuality. So now, would that qualify as hate speech since in South Africa, homosexuals are allowed to be?
Yeah, for sure. That would be contextual because there's something that you would call hate speech. It will not be called hate speech here in
We are talking about in South Africa where it is allowed, Mfundisi. I need you to address those countries that are like South Africa. I understand there are countries that don't allow homosexuality. That's clear. But for those countries that do allow homosexuality, is it not hate speech when a person of faith is going to express himself, free expression, and read the text for what it is? And the text says, you shall not be a homosexual. If a man practices homosexuality, having sex with another man as with a woman, both men have committed a detestable act. They must be put to death, for they are guilty of a capital offense. Now that's Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13. Is Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13 in South Africa not hate speech?
Thank you. Like I said, the context, like when you talk about South Africa in particular, leaving the other countries maybe where that is not still legal, even South Africa, the constitution must prescribe what is when, because I think hate speech now is a hot topic, and I think a lot of countries have prescribed, like even in Zambia, a prescription what is defined as hate speech. So even the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa, there must be something that is documented that this one is within the boundaries of hate speech. When you say this and it is discriminate another one, it is offensive to another person, in that context, it will be called hate speech. Because bear in mind, we are living in a society that is permissive, that allows even what is the not acceptable in the eyes of God. We are living in a permissive society, a society that allows what is not allowed in the eyes of God. They say, wow, this is all right for us. So in that context, that would be called as the hate speech in the context of South Africa, where something that the Bible prescribes is not allowed, but it is allowed. In that context, we can call it hate speech.
So in the event that the Constitution and the Acts of South Africa say what I've just read now from the Book of Leviticus is hate speech, should we delete the Book of Leviticus as South African Christians?
No, it doesn't. God is God. Whether South Africa is there or is not there, God is God. So what he has said stands. Whether I agree with it,
but you've just said it is hate speech, Mfundisi. If the law says hate speech, then it's hate speech. My question is, should a South African Christian who finds himself caught between the Bible and the law that allows homosexuality and calls my reading of the scripture hate speech, what should I do? Should I delete the scriptures that are in hate speech?
Yeah, that's why I mentioned that we live in a permissive society. And when I say permissive society, we are talking about a society that allows what God has said no to, but says you can go ahead. We have got an example like in America, we talk about homosexuality where it's allowed. I didn't follow it to the end, but there was a pastor who was sued, who refused to officiate at a wedding of homosexuals. And then he said, well, my conscience does not allow me to do this. So if you force me to do this, then you are also abrogating my rights as an individual.
Then
so
what does a Christian do, Mfundisi?
Pardon?
How can the church or church people or churches use their voice to spread love and truth without alienating or hurting others like the homosexual community, for example?
The church is the body of Christ. So the church is not operating independently. It is the body of Christ. The church is the representative or ambassador of Christ. And by that, like we find in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, the church is the salt of the earth. And what is the work of salt? Salt preserves food. Salt melts ice. Salt breaks rocks. Salt is, we would say, like one boy defined, he says, salt is what is spoils food if it is left out. So if you leave out the voice of the church, then you are spoiling that society. The church is there to preach love and to preach love in season and out of season. And that's what Jesus did. So the voice of the church is supposed to be heard.
How, Mfundisi? That's my question. How do we preach Leviticus 20 verse 13?
Like Peter said, you remember in Acts 5, verse 39, it is better to obey God than to obey a human being. What God has said, whether a country says this is not offensive, this is this, we have to stick to what God has said. When the law of God is violated, when there's a law of a human being that violates the law of God, as Christians, we are supposed to uphold the law of God. So whether the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa prescribes this to be all right, if the law of God says no, we are supposed to uphold the law of God. It is better to obey God than to obey human laws. Human laws will change from time to time. Tomorrow, the same constitution will be changed. It will reverse this. It will forward this. But the law of God is what we need to preach. Whether the constitution says this, we are supposed to uphold the law of God because it does not change just like the maker itself, God himself.
Let's go to the Bible, Mfundisi. How does the Bible guide Christians in speaking the truth, as you're suggesting, with love and respect in today's world? Just take us to the Bible.
Yeah, the Bible, for example, we can read Ephesians 4, verse 15 and 16. But speaking the truth in love may grow in all things into him. We are supposed to speak the truth in love. Jesus spoke those scathing rebukes. The snake, calling people hypocrites, snakes. But even his voice, it was out of love. Even when he told that woman, neither do I condemn, the others have condemned me, but I don't condemn you, but go and sin no more. That is speaking the truth in love. That just, woman, you remember in... Yes, please.
Yeah, just help us understand how you do that. Teach us how to preach Leviticus 20:13 in love. Give us an example.
I've just talked about Jesus with that woman who was caught in adultery. She was caught in adultery. She was supposed to be stoned. But he says, I do not condemn you either, but don't go and do it again. Okay. We have got another woman in John chapter 4. Jesus says, you had five husbands. You had five husbands, and you have got another boyfriend who is in your home right now. He's speaking the truth to this woman, but he's speaking it in love. And to show that he's really speaking in love, the woman, instead of being hurt by what Jesus has spoken, she goes to invite others. Come and hear what this woman who has revealed everything in my life. So that is speaking the truth in love. When we speak the truth in love, even if it's something that the wrong thing that I am doing, I'm not that, yes, the brother is talking about the wrong that I am doing, but he's speaking it in love. I'll be persuaded to follow what you are saying because of the way you speak it.
Final question, Mfundisi. Should there be legal boundaries on what churches can say about sensitive social topics like this one?
Yeah, of course, whatever we say, like we have said, if God says this is right, it is right, and it has to be spoken. The law of the land, when you talk about legal boundary, we are talking about the law of the land. Like we have said, if the law of the land violates the law of God, we are supposed to uphold the law of God. We are supposed to uphold the law of God. But if the law of the land prescribes something that is in line with the Bible, we are supposed to uphold it. We are supposed to be law-abiding citizens. You are supposed to be a law-abiding citizen. I'm supposed to be a law-abiding citizen. That's what the law of the land says.
That's and what I'm asking for this. Also. Should the law dictate what churches can and cannot say?
No. Because when you talk about church, when you talk about freedom of worship, you are talking about the conscience. And you do not regulate how people are supposed to worship God. Of course, there is a freedom of worship, which is a birthright. I'm born with it, to worship or not to worship. That is so. There is no law that should be put that I should worship or I should not worship. It is my freedom. It is my right.
Okay, right. Can I leave it there? Thank you very much, Mfundisi. I really appreciate your time and your insights. Have a wonderful day further. We'll talk and finalize our conversation on this issue tomorrow.
Thank you. God bless you and God bless our listener.
Gosu Mfundisi, thank you very much. And that's how we end our conversation on this Daily Focus. Where does the church stand on the issue of freedom of speech? You heard what the pastor says. I'd love to know what you think.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.